We have coming into town tomorrow night here in Houston, singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan. Nancy Ford interviewed her a couple of months ago. She's the heartbreaker of many a lesbian, and she's going to be telling Nancy about how she came up with some of her songs and what has influenced her life.
You have a tremendous gay and lesbian following.
So everybody tells me, yeah.
Do you have anything that you attribute that to, or...
Well, I think probably the sexual ambiguity of my songs. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to place gender as an issue anywhere, except on occasion when I actually talk about women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And well, whether it's, you know, whether it's the sisterhood and friendship or whether it goes further, I mean, but I don't like to put boundaries on it like that because I think sexuality needs to be stated a lot more freely than it has been in the past.
Indeed. Certainly, historically, love songs have been about him losing her and, you know, she pining away for he.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That sort of thing. And I was obviously studying your lyrics a little bit more closely than just enjoying them, as I have in the last few months, studying them this morning. And you very, very seldom use pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom. Is that been intentional?
Yeah, pretty much. One of the only songs that I do, or one of the only songs that has sort of an actual gender thing, is Good Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, basically, you can take it as far as a woman saying to another woman,
right?
I'll take better care of you than this guy.
Well, yes. In fact, a group of friends and I were talking about that very song the other night. It has very, very lesbian overtones.
Mm-hmm.
Very definite statement there.
But you can also parallel that with a mother-daughter relationship,
mm-hmm.
or a simple female friendship. You know, you can take it to very lots of different levels. I mean, that's what I like,
mm-hmm.
that it's ambiguous that way.
Right, you kind of can appeal to a much broader sense, or broader spectrum of audience.
Yeah.
In Possession. Now, there's a lot of speculation what that's about. Some people say it's about battered women. Some people say it is about a lesbian love relationship. There's something about holding you down and kissing you all over that is intrinsically lesbian, is what I'm told.
And really?
That's what I hear. That's what my friends tell me.
Wow.
How
curious.
What? Yeah, really.
I think that's great. I mean, that's... You know, when people ask me about, you know, when they ask me to be specific about what my songs mean, my first thing is, what does it mean to you?
Mm.
You know, and whatever their answer is, I go, well, that's what it is. You know, it means something different to me, but, you know, I basically told you as much as I plan to tell you in the song.
Uh-huh.
As to what it's about to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if they really push me, then I'll go into detail. I mean, Possession was, it turned into a lot of different things, but it was initially inspired by a lot of letters I got from male fans,
mm-hmm.
who just went really, really over the top as far as their adoration and the fantasies that they created and sort of placed myself in with them and sort of demanded that was reality. And it got, you know, it got kind of frightening because I didn't know, I don't know these people, but...
Kind of on the line between a fan letter and a stalker letter, huh?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
I think that would surprise a lot of people to learn that was the basis of that song.
Yeah.
But reading it, it certainly makes sense.
Well, yeah, and
it's, read it.
But again, once again, it's on the outside. It's a love song.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that same kind of thing as Every Breath You Take.
Yeah.
You know that it's such a pretty love song, but you really...
The obsessive, compulsive...
Yeah, if you tend to go inside the lyrics and read what's behind them, then it's like, oh, this is kind of screwed up.
Well, speaking of which, your press notes in Fumbling Toward Ecstasy referring to writing Fumbling as a kind of therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, sort of writing always has been. It's become more so and more so as I've progressed as far as my songwriting skills. For me, it's generally it's fundamentally pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all been through the shitty relationship. We've all had people mistreat us. We've probably mistreated people at the same time, and it's a fascinating topic for me.
Mm-hmm.
The psychology of the human brain and how and why we do things as a, you know, it's always a reaction to something else, whether it's recent past or distant past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, for me, it's just trying to figure out myself in relation to all that and where I sit and, you know, it's a process of finding out who I am, really.
Right. You said that writing also helped you overcome your long-standing fears.
Oh, yeah, well, someone else wrote that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, then, I'm working on it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'm not necessarily there, but, any kind of therapy is, you're trying to deal with something so that it doesn't bother you anymore.
Well,
or so that
yeah.
you can at least put it to rest. You can understand it a little better, and that's
working through it.
Yeah, and that's what the songs are for me, and, you know, and a lot of it's projection.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll say, I won't fear love.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean I won't. It just means I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I wish for.
We do all aspire, don't we?
Yeah.
In your song, Plenty, it sounds to me like there's some serious abandonment.
Yeah, the ultimate jilted relationship song.
Indeed. What was the inspiration for that? If I may be so personal.
Well, how do I say it? I told myself a huge lie.
Oh?
I got myself into a relationship where I decided that this was the perfect guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I projected the perfect man onto him and expected him to be that. And when he fell seriously short of it, I was terribly offended.
Through no one's fault but our own, I guess.
Absolutely, and it was an amazing thing. It's like, wow, I can't believe I allowed myself to deceive myself so much, to such a degree. And so that song is totally about that. But it was one of the best relationships I've ever been through because of what it taught me in the end.
I believe this is heaven to no one else but me. Describe heaven.
The place where I know who I am and where I can be exactly who I am and then be accepted unconditionally for that.
Mm-hmm. Has that happened? Have you ever been there?
I've been pretty close.
Where?
When I was making the record, and I was by myself.
Ah.
But that's the most important, I think, the most important acceptance is accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time I didn't, and I didn't have much confidence or faith in myself. And because I didn't really know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being by myself for 7 months as I was really forced me to address a lot of things that I've been suppressing for many years.
No.
You know, it's like I just, and stemming from many conversations of, you know, everybody going, oh, this is the enlightened generation. It's like, yeah, but yeah, sure, in your 20s when you're being the rebel.
Mm-hmm.
You are a radical and you'll try and make change, but by the time you hit 30, you're either sucked into the system or you're a total outcast.
Is that the impetus behind your music? You want to make some change?
Inevitably, yeah. I mean, I have to say that first and foremost, it's an incredibly selfish thing on my part.
That's fine.
I do it to please myself. I do it to learn about myself and try and get ahead, try and figure out what I'm all about and what everything else is all about. And I do also have that feeling that if a person is really good and really happy and peaceful, that this may sound a bit corny, but I totally believe it, that they really shine.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe that
if other people see that light shining, that if it shines a bit onto their lives, then I really believe that can make a difference. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've met people who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been amazing inspirations to me, and I kind of dig that notion that I could give other people happiness.
Indeed. Well, speaking of meeting other people who shine, I wasn't able to see your show, but I was in New York for the Gay Games and Cultural Festival when you were doing Life Beat.
Oh, that was such an amazing night.
Tell me everything.
Well, it was a great bill for one thing.
Mm, no kidding.
Melissa Etheridge, Katie, yeah, Seal.
Mm-hmm.
John Cicada, Mila, Queen Latifah, myself,
Ricky Lake emceed, didn't she?
Yeah, and Veronica Webb
yes.
as well. And Madonna showed up just as we were leaving.
Oh, Madonna.
Yeah. I was like, oh, good, I'm out of here. I don't think I can handle looking at her up close.
Oh, my God.
Flip out.
Not a big inspiration for you, Madonna isn't, huh?
I really loved her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. And I'm just sick to death of her now. But that's, you know, but I'm waiting for her to reinvent herself like everybody else.
She always does.
I think next move is having a kid.
That would make sense.
Because she's getting on, too, so.
But back to Life Beat.
There was a really, really amazing vibe because of course, the whole thing that it was surrounding. And all the people that work for Life Beat are just the most amazing bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always a great energy with sort of a volunteer organization where, you know, people are working because they love it, because they want to be there, because they want to help. I mean, there's always a great vibe in that. And that was, you know, really the feeling of the night, and then the people in the audience were just, you know, so into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the really bizarre thing was? Maybe you can shed some light on this for me.
What's that?
Maybe it's just the jaded New York thing, but nobody, not a single person, wore the red ribbon. Now, I'm wondering why that is. Is it become passé now or something, or...?
That's interesting. I've heard some controversy about it, that it's becoming like the yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. You know, it's a nice, again, passe thing, but let's do something other than wearing something, a piece of costume jewelry.
Right.
I hate to say, to use the word fad, but it was almost like that. I still see mostly activists here in Houston wearing the AIDS ribbon. And if there's like a formal deal, it always looks good on a tuxedo. God, that sounds jaded. My, but I think you're right. It's not as prevalent now. I think people are maybe putting their awareness into actually cold hard cash a little bit more.
Right.
That's an interesting observation there.
I was really interested because I hadn't heard anything about it, but in any other event like that. There was always ribbons passed out,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they weren't, and really strange, because nobody had them on, nobody.
That's odd.
Yeah, not a single person. It's like, it was almost like it had been tabooed or something, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty extreme. Yeah. I have no explanation for that.
Yeah, and then we searched, you know, and a lot of people, they didn't all come together.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really looking. I was looking for them, and there was nothing to
be found. Red ribbon detector at the door.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Well, I know you do a lot of stuff for AIDS charities. You're involved with the No Alternative album. Certainly it's affected you.
Yeah.
The AIDS crisis.
Well, and I'm finally knowing people who are dying from it.
Oh,
which,
sorry.
You know, I didn't for a long time, but now, you know.
Yeah.
One of my good friends is HIV positive, but people who I've known for years who have lost contact with, like a guy I knew for like 6 or 7 years died a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even know he had AIDS.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, that's...
Yeah, well, that certainly has been, you know, a major, major focus of the gay and lesbian community for years now. So as the spokesperson for that community, I'd like to thank you for your involvement.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, it's one of the things that makes me so angry is people's intolerance and lack of compassion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's maybe that's reflective also in your music, in your genderless, so to speak, music. And I don't like to say that because your music isn't genderless. It's very feminine based, very, very feminine spiritually based. Almost.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't get around the fact that I am a woman,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a woman singing, mm-hmm. and so obviously that is, and I do, and in the past couple of years, I've definitely gotten more onto, you know, the female
mm-hmm.
thing.
Well, you need to know, you need to be aware that you are breaking every lesbian in America's heart by being straight. I mean, it is a big topic of conversation. It's impossible. You can't possibly be het the way you write.
I love it.
Oh,
it's
love
so
it.
Flattering.
So what do you say to these women?
I smile, and, you know, there's one woman I know, right, I met a couple months ago in Montreal who was just totally over the top. Like,
in terms of?
Oh, just, just her nature, like she was very very touchy, very you know, like just going, man, you got a great ass, girl. You know, blushing, hey. Like, hey, well, thank you.
What's her number?
Exactly. And oh, the wildest thing is that she this is actually a bit over the top too. She got a big tattoo of my face on her arm.
Like Tom Arnold and Roseanne?
It, that was a bit frightening. She goes, don't worry, I'm not a psycho. I said, well, yeah, you are.
No, let me permanently scar my body for you, but I'm no psycho.
Yeah. I mean, she's real harmless. She's a great girl, but I just went, wow, that's a, you know, and a lot of my friends know her, too, and they went, Sarah,
mm-mm.
I got to tell you something.
So this was not the lick-on kind of tattoo.
This This is a permanent kind.
Oh, my. Well, that's. Yeah. I guess that is the true epitome of stardom, if someone tattoos themselves with your image.
I got a bit of that a couple months ago in, actually, I don't know if it was in Texas. No, it wasn't Texas. It was somewhere in the South. So this fellow came up to me and asked me if I could sign his back. I was like, oh, you know, come on, you know, why don't you get me to sign a piece of paper or something? I'd rather not sign your body. But he turned around and flipped up his shirt, and he had his whole back covered in one of my drawings, like the Medusa angel. And I thought, wow, that's so cool, because they really lend towards tattoos.
Yeah,
my drawings,
I guess you're right. In fact, I'm looking at your album covers, your CD covers right now. You designed these.
Yeah. Yeah, I do all the T-shirt designs, and I've directed some of the videos and stuff.
Neat.
Yeah, I've tried to have total creative control over everything that's had anything to do with my career.
When's your birthday?
January 28th.
Oh, there you go.
Aquarian.
There you go.
Yeah, space cadet, flaky, wishy-washy, but in charge and in control at the same time.
In charge of all the flakiness. I don't know. I'm looking at the Fumbling Toward Ecstasy liner notes right now. This, it's so biological. It's so amphibian.
The labias, yeah. Flying labias.
Those, flying labias. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Aren't they great?
Tell me about those. Was this a dream? Was this your friend with a tattoo?
This is actually not my work. This is a friend of mine, Graham Gilmore, and he does that painting. It's a part of a painting that's about 15 feet long.
Don't tell me you posed.
Oh, heavens no. He gets his stuff at a taxidermy book for the most part.
Oh, wow.
You see the little wrap that's kind of opened up? Like I can't explain what any of this stuff means, except that I love to look at it. Because it is extremely vaginal and floral and luscious and erotic.
Sarah, are you sure you're not a lesbian?
Fairly sure.
Fairly sure. Okay.
You know, I've kissed girls before, but
we'll leave that door open. Huh? Okay. Let me see.
No, I'm a penis girl. I really am.
You're a penis girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mind you, I'm not opposed to strap-ons.
Yeah.
Oh, we should stop this right now. It's getting bad.
Oh no, I kind of like it. I'm in fact blushing, and that doesn't happen too often. So I'm.
I guess it's a good thing we're talking on the phone here.
Yeah, really.
We can be a little more.
Well, good for who?
Yeah. Well. Sure.
Yeah.
So I probably would not have said that if I were in person. I'll just let you
know. Are you shy? Are you
we
shy?
We didn't know, but I, you know, there's a certain wall that, you know, that the phone gives that could probably be a little more obnoxious than I usually would be.
That 1-900 syndrome, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, you first released, I'm getting back to business, you first released Soulless back in 1991, and now Possession comes along in 1994. How have things changed for you since then?
Gosh, well, I've gotten a couple years older.
Other than the math, Sarah.
I've gotten a bit wiser.
Mm-hmm.
Toured lots. Started painting.
Ice Cream. Let me ask you about Ice Cream.
Sure.
The song. It's the liner notes say it's a result of your newfound ability to find inspiration and happiness.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I love these bios.
Yeah, surprise. What's making you happy? Happy enough to write about Ice Cream.
Well, the main thing, as I mentioned before, was being by myself and finding completeness in myself for the first time without needing anybody to fill a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, I could actually have a relationship with somebody and truly give myself to them wholly and totally, because I felt comfortable enough to do so. And I'm still in this relationship, and it's absolutely amazing.
How long's it been?
Oh, it's been about a year and a half now.
Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
like
you.
5 years in lesbian years. So.
I want to have kids. I've been searching for a good dad too, because I want there to be two people raising this kid or these kids, and he's so into it.
Wonderful.
You know. So yeah, I'm very lucky.
Well, you sound happy.
I am.
What's your favorite kind of ice cream?
Chocolate chip. Haagen-Dazs.
Chocolate chip Haagen-Dazs. I'm going to need to wrap up pretty soon. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the people here in Houston? Gays, lesbians, straights, undetermined?
Figure out what you want and go for it.
Figure out what you want and go for it, and that's what you did?
Yeah, I think so. It took me a while to figure out that I had to figure stuff out, and I'm still figuring.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely it's really cool that I've realized that I can be sort of in control of my destiny. And it's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Well, from this end, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. It has been a pleasure talking to you, Sarah.
Yeah, and you too. It's been very fun.